They desired signs, fire, and the God proclaimed by God's witnesses is going to be rejected again. And they would not have him be king, but they would rather have another. That's Antichrist. That's the dragon. They would rather have him reign over them. They'd rather have Satan over them than have Christ. And when Christ returns, he's going to take his enemies, and they're going to come before him, and they're going to be slain before him. You know, as it is written in the book of Hebrews, all things are put under his feet, but we do not yet see all things put under his feet. The kingdom of God is not merely this inner thing. It is not just a way of life. It is also something that is going to come to change the world. And the world is never going to be the same again. And this whole age, this whole way that men have ruled the earth is going to come to an end. Verse 28. And when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering you shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, Why do you loose him? Thus shall ye say to him, Because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way, and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitudes said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. So we see another triumphant entry of Christ into Jerusalem. No doubt that there were several of these, because the accounts differ slightly, and that clues me into the fact that there were probably multiple times. Over the course of a few days, he might have come into the city several times, and on a colt, on an ass. It's a different thing each time. That's another thing, a different animal, different response from the people they get the colt from. And so you see the setup, how the knowledge of Christ is over all things, and what to say, and the oddest things. The Lord has need of them. They're like, okay. And they took the colt. And the quote in verse 38 is from Psalm 118. Blessed is he, the King, that comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And they won't see Christ again until this cry goes up again from Jerusalem. When this cry goes up again, they will say, Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. They're going to say it again. And then that will signal that Christ is coming again soon. And whether they're saying that because they're receiving a false Messiah or whether they're looking for the true Messiah, I'm not sure. But they will see him again. They will see him in another day. And the people are crying out, and the Pharisees are offended at this. Oh, God, quiet them down. Don't you hear? Rebuke them. No, don't say that. Don't do that. This is a little too prophetic. You're coming in on the colt, the foal of an ass. That's like Zechariah 9 verse 9. Don't do that. Well, I'm not the Messiah. Hold on, hold on. They want him to cut it out. And he says, if they told them to be quiet, the rocks would cry out. Because God will have his son praised. You know, Jesus always took the path of humility, but the Father would glorify the Son. And the Son glorifies the Father. And when he came near, verse 41, when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong to thy peace, for now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even to the ground, even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. And Jesus is weeping. You know, a lot of times I say, you know, Jesus isn't going to weep when he destroys the wicked, and he won't. But as a man, he was touched with the feelings of other people. You know, when the city Jerusalem would be destroyed, a lot of people who weren't Pharisees and Sadducees, who weren't God's enemies, are still going to be killed. Because the whole city is being punished for the nation. And they're going to die. And he knows human pain. But from the perspective of God, death is not the end. But this knowledge that, you know, death isn't the end, that there's the resurrection and the judgment, and God, you know, he makes everything just in the end. Of course, all of us dying is just. But even knowing that all of us dying and that we are fit for destruction, Jesus Christ was a man, and he felt everything like we feel it. You know, he was touched with the same feelings we're touched with. You know, you hear a sad story and it brings a tear to your eye. Even if it's an imaginary story, it can touch you. Because that's the nature of human feeling. It's the very idea. You know, from God's perspective, things are raised, and Jesus knows the resurrection, but the immediate loss of death. You know, Jesus wept at the death of a friend. Even though he is the resurrection and the life. And he wept before he went to the cross. Even though he knew he would be raised, what he was going to go through was going to be a harrowing experience. And he wept for Jerusalem and the harrowing experience that they would go through. You know, and aside from all our wrath against sin and against the enemy, still, you know, I know the things when you actually experience them is one thing as an idea, but when you actually experience it, it touches you more deeply. Though all things God has from the foundation of the world determined. In the person of the Son, he was touched with the feelings of our infirmities and with the feelings that we experience in tragic circumstances. And the tragedy of Jerusalem in that time of her visitation, you know, if you had just known, at least in this your day, the things which belong to your peace, the good things that God has intended for that place and the people who dwell there. Because what is a city but the dwellers in it? It's a ghost town. But peace belongs, but now it's hid from you. You will not see it now. Because the days are coming that the trench is going to be cast about and they're going to lay siege to Jerusalem and lay it to the ground and destroy.